Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace on this Thursday session as we go back to Revelation chapter 20 and conclude our study this week of looking at the Great White Throne Judgment. And let me read a little bit again of Revelation chapter 20 and into 21. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Well, this is just a moving section of Scripture because essentially, right after you have described the great final white throne judgment, you have the most beautiful description of the new heavens and the new earth, a place where righteousness dwells. And I want to again, in the remainder that we have today, look at a little bit this final picture of the judgment and give us a grand picture of the entrance that will happen into glory when we see this New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, where God is tabernacling with men. What a beautiful picture here. Well, remember yesterday we looked at this great white throne judgment, and we looked at the truth that him who sat on it, whose face heaven and earth fled away. Now, what we looked at that carefully is the clear description of what is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in all of his glory. At any moment, the trumpet will sound. He will come on the clouds of heaven with all of his glory, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. That is what 2 Peter says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. A whole cosmic meltdown. Revelation describes this as the mountains and the islands being removed, and stars falling, and the sun and the moon darkening. You have that description in Matthew chapter 24, which does correlate with all of this too. And the sky rolls up like a scroll. Now, maybe you've had a lot of questions. What exactly is going to happen? And there have been so many viewpoints, it's rather confusing when we try to interject in there this 1,007 years that is often put in the middle of all this, from the time of the secret rapture of the church to the 7 years of persecution to then setting up an earthly reign in Jerusalem on the throne. Well, we've looked at this past week. That just does not correlate with Scripture as a whole. Why would you want to rebuild the Jerusalem temple when all of that was patterned on the mountain to Moses of the temple which is in heaven? Remember, Hebrews tells us that all of those things are a shadowy sketch, a shadow of what is in heaven, the true temple, the place where the throne is. Jesus' reign is a heavenly reign, which was inaugurated when he ascended and went into heaven and took his seat. That means reign. And so that is the whole picture of the New Testament, that Christ's reign is a heavenly reign in the Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all. We certainly would not want to go back to shadowy forms, because Hebrews says if you do that, you crucify again the Son of God. We don't want the forms. We don't want the shadows. We want the reality now. And that is what we're pressed to see, that the temple veil was rent from top to bottom, telling us God's presence is no longer found in an earthly man-made temple, but is in the temple made without hands, of which we are all living stones. That's Ephesians 2, which speaks of both Jew and Gentile becoming one people. Well, after this great reign, we have what is described here as the final battle, and then the great white throne judgment. And on that day, this is what is going to happen. Revelation chapter 6. Behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and every island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. Well, those mountains are all going to be moved. They're all going to be laid waste. And everyone is going to stand before the throne of God. Here we see that pictured in Revelation chapter 20. Now, if you correlate that with Matthew chapter 24, we again have the same picture. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Well, again, what happens then? You go on in Matthew chapter 25 in this Olivet Discourse. The Son of Man comes. There's a great separation where his sheep are set on his right and the goats on his left. So this is the description of the great white throne judgment. We read in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 20 that the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. What has happened? The general resurrection. Remember very clearly that Jesus taught that on the last day, and this is how Martha and Mary understood it with the death of Lazarus, that the resurrection would not take place, as dispensationalists often make the case, 1,007 years before spiritualizing the last day, that is a spiritualizing of the text. Actually, Jesus said in John 5:28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So what we see is a general resurrection is coming. And that is what is pictured here in Revelation 20 in this white throne judgment. Christ takes his seat, thrones are put in place, his garment is as white as snow. And what happens? The court is seated and books are open. Books are opened. Christ, my friends, has a record book of lives. And all throughout their life, did not believe in him, did not heed his calls, but mocked them, would not hear, worshiped other gods, bowed to idols, all these sort of things, followed their own sinful courses and paths. Every sin, every thought, every word is written down in the book. And there Jesus will be on his throne. And that book of your life is going to be opened. And it's all going to be there. And those people who have not believed will have to give an account. And all of their life will be exposed before everyone. Now, I said yesterday, you see why the pleas to believe in Jesus are so serious? How many don't take this seriously? 2 Peter speaks of mockers who will come in the last days mocking, saying, where's the sign of his coming? It's a moral mocking, meaning their lives deny it by the way that they live. So God is saying this is going to happen, but there's another book there. It's the book of life. All those, anyone not found written in the book of life, we read, will be cast into the lake of fire, but those written in the book of life will not. And notice not one work is mentioned. It's salvation by grace through faith alone. They are covered in Christ's righteousness. They are covered by his blood. All that is in this book are names. That is so comforting. And that is the basis by which we have hope. You see, only those written in this book are taken to glory. There's no need for any work to be written. These are those who are seen as pure, not because they're better than anyone else, but because they are washed, having been judged by the life of Christ. The second death cannot touch them. And so chapter 21 begins by saying, I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. The former things will have passed away. What a comfort this is to all of those who've believed in Jesus. Oh, my friends, ensure that you have come to Jesus in true faith, turning from your sin and looking to him as the resurrection and the life. Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We preach Christ and him crucified in season and out of season. Come hear the message of hope that is able to convey you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Worship service times are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day. You may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. You can give us a call, 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.